God is a God of hope. And as we come to Him today, we want to again reaffirm the hope that we have in Jesus. Because of the work that He did on Calvary's cross for each and every one of us, we have that hope. We have that hope that once our life is done here on this earth, because of the sacrifice that He made, and only because of that sacrifice, is God so very willing to forgive us. God forgives us because of what Jesus has done, the sacrifice that He gave for us. And as we follow Him and as we desire to walk with Him, it's important that we continue to keep going back to the cross of Christ. Thank you, each and every day. And as we are walking through this life, for us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. As I said last week, when we come to portions of God's Word, it's only going to cause an argument in us for us trying to justify the things that we've done, the things that we've said, unless we're so wrapped up in our relationship with Christ. So I just really want to encourage each and every one of you this week to really dig into your relationship with Jesus, to take time to consider and to thank Him for the great things that He has done for us and through us, through the body of Jesus Christ. This is God's Word. It's what we believe and teach. His Word is our truth. Anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's promise to you and to me. We need to believe it, receive it, and then go tell somebody about the great things that Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. Yes, church, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Today is part 9 of a 10-part series within a series on the Ten Commandments, dealing from Moses' life, his life. And today I want to just challenge you and to reiterate again that the closer that we draw to Jesus, the closer that we draw to the light, which is Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the more that we'll leave the darkness of this world. The title of today's message is A Better Word. That is a better word. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20? And we'd like to look at verse 16 here this morning. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Excuse me. This is the ninth commandment. I find one of the most damaging things that we do about the commandments or about sin in general is we make a list of those that are the big sins and the little sins. And of all the commandments that are listed and those broken on a regular basis, this might just be the most widely abused, the coup de grace of them all. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 reads, "Do not give false testimony against your neighbor." Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. This involves any type of lying or simply stretching the truth in any way, shape, or form. Your neighbor is anyone who needs you, just in case anyone was asking. And in this church, we need each other. We do need each other. And here, regardless of what happens out there, outside of these walls, truth is what must be spoken without question. I want to be an evangelical speaker for Jesus, not an evangelistically speaking speaker of jokes. It is my desire to give you, every time we are together, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. I think it's good that we stay on that pathway, for varying from it puts us in a league with Satan himself. John 8:44 tells us this, speaking of Satan, that there is no truth in him. And when he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. A man's word is as good as his name, and should be. Satan, that word Satan means liar, deceiver. This commandment covers bearing false witness, especially as it applies to the court of law, but not just that. It is the tearing down of a person's reputation in order to frame them for something they did not do. It covers the act of lying and deceiving our neighbors in any way, in any shape, or in any form. It covers speaking unjustly about a neighbor. The thing that we call gossip. In order to slander, backbite, or tattletale on them, in order to raise our own reputation upon the ruining theirs. doing any of these is a sin against God. It is a sin against the person whose reputation is being destroyed. It is a sin against the person who hears it. That's right, if it's you and you willfully listen to gossip, you are just as guilty as the one who spoke it. For it is a sin against society in which it is tolerated. Regardless of your political persuasion, it has never been more evident than now that words spoken against our standing president are extremely biased. And for those who pronounce such rhetoric that's unfounded, without truth, they will pay because they did not pray. God is a God of truth, and he expects all his followers to speak the truth in love. The church, this commandment was given to protect a person's name and their reputation, just like the third commandment is given to protect God's name. This morning, let's look at what this command is and what it is for, that God's children will always be able to give a better word. The commandment says, do not give false testimony against your neighbor. First, let's notice this, that this is point number one. This commandment is a regulation. It is a regulation. It is to regulate, to bring all under God's authority through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of a living God. In an article written by Joseph Dobrin entitled The Most Grievous Sin, bearing false witness, he writes, of all forbidden by the Ten Commandments, the most vile and worse than murder in a way, because it so eloquently speaks to the perpetrator's moral fabric, is the bearing of a false witness against your neighbor. Specifically speaking, falsely against someone to damage them civilly or criminally, it is to frame them. He says of other sins that can be excused or at least explained by the truism that we all have faults. He then describes sins of passion and desperation. Again, we go back to quotes. These offenses don't necessarily sum up a person's character. Bearing false witness does. That does require a special kind of evil, a lack of decency and empathy, so profound that I cannot comprehend it. End of quote. The Bible says that there are six things in that the Lord hates, and seven are not detestable to him, according to Proverbs 16, verses 16 to 19, which says, the Lord hates these things, and seven are detestable to them. Arrogant eyes. The second thing mentioned is a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run evil. Listen to this. A lying witness who gives a false testimony and one who stirs up trouble among the brethren. Of the seven things that God hates that are detestable to him, lying is mentioned twice. I think we need to think about that. You see, this commandment was given to protect the innocent from someone accusing another of misconduct by a word alone. It had to be in the Old Testament by two or three witnesses for a capital offense in order to go through. You see, it was to protect the innocent. And this commandment was also given to prosecute the guilty. Deuteronomy 19, verse 16 to 21 says this. If a malicious witness testifies against someone accusing him of a crime, the two people in the dispute are to stand in the presence of the Lord before the priest and judges in authority at the time. The judges are to make a careful investigation, and if the witness turns out to be a liar, he who has falsely accused his brother, you must do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge this evil from you. Then everyone else will hear and be afraid, and they will never again do anything evil like this among you. Do not show them pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Try to frame someone for something that they did not do, and the punishment for it then becomes that of the false accuser. God's saying, I'm not messing around with this, and you shouldn't either. God is saying that we need to get this. We need to get this whole issue of this issue of false testimony against our brothers. It was also a command during that time that if you failed to come forward with a relevant testimony in response to a public charge, knowing the truth and not sharing it made you just as guilty. The Bible makes it clear. Give a false testimony to frame anyone for something they did not do, and you'll receive the punishment for it. I hope every Christian and every news agency is hearing this. Speak that which is the truth, the whole truth, nothing and nothing but the truth. Do not give false testimony against your brother. Amen. This commandment is not just a regulation. This commandment is for your reputation, the character commonly imputed to a person. It is here to protect one from a reputation that's less than stellar as a child of God. Psalms 101, verse 7 and 8 says this: "No one who acts deceitfully will live in my palace. The one who tells lies will not be retained here to guide me. Every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land, wiping all evildoers from the Lord's city." Notice this verse is talking about this. This verse is saying that the moral standards of the king should be reflected by those who serve him. Therefore, and hear this, the ruler will remove from his palace anyone who deceives and tells lies. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their share in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." So if you're a liar here today, and you don't make that right, you're going to be spending an eternity with the sexually messed up and with the murderers and those who committed all kinds of heinous crimes. The Lord puts liars in that same category. Ever know anyone who you know that every time they speak, you better be ready because you're going to get a hyper-extended version of what really happened, of what really took place? You don't believe them even if you wanted to, because their reputation has already been shot through the amount of lies that they have spread. We seem to think that white lies, and why does it always have to be white, aren't really that bad. But for many, the white lie, and that's leaving anyone under the wrong impression for any reason, has become a way of life. And Christian, God's not having it. We think sometimes we can just tell a white lie or a half-truth or mislead someone because to save our reputation or to keep from getting hurt, and we think that that's okay. God says it's not okay. Sir Walter Scott said, "Oh, a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Confucius say, I think this is the first time we ever quoted Confucius. Confucius say, "Three things cannot be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth." Mark Twain said, "If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember a thing." Abraham Lincoln said, "No man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar." And from Bruce Lee, "If you don't want to slip up tomorrow, speak the truth today." The truth doesn't cost you anything, but a lie could cost you everything. One lie is enough to get people to question all truths. Lies, no matter how big or how small, always crack or break the very foundation of trust. Lying is bad because it's a basic moral wrong. Some things are just fundamentally bad, and lying, whatever color it happens to be, is one of them. The worst thing about being lied to is knowing you weren't worth the truth. Lying is wrong because it is contrary to the nature of God. It shows a person's not in touch with reality, like Romans 1 verse 25 tells us about those who traded the truth for a lie. Remember, a lie is any statement or act designed to deceive any person. Its motivation can be to hurt someone or to protect yourself out of fear or out of pride. Now, I don't believe with all my heart that anyone here is an out-and-out bald-faced liar. And I'm not sure what the absence of hair has to do with that. But say this, and I want to just kind of just preface this by saying, anyone that this might have applied to this week, this or who called later on in the end of the week, this doesn't apply to you because I had this message done by Tuesday. Okay? Just want to just preface that. Say you sleep in one day just because you had a late night or simply just because you can. Okay? You sleep in one day. And the phone rings at the crack of dawn, and you're thinking, who in blue blazes is calling at this hour of the morning? So you jump up and you run to the phone. Your hair is scattered to the four winds. Your nose is full of things we won't mention. Sleepy's in your eyes, and your dry tongue is clinging to the roof of your mouth. I'm just trying to paint a possible picture here. You clear your throat many times in order to sound like you're awake, and then you answer the phone with a cheery hello. Now, just because the psalmist says, early will I seek thee, doesn't make it non-Christian to sleep in every once in a while. But what is the answer to the caller's first question? Did I wake you up? Oh. Now, I won't say what maybe we have said, because that would be judging. But probably what we have all been tempted to say is, no, I've been up, I'm up. Even if it's been for just the past 10 seconds. Folks, that's a lie. That's a lie. If it happens, just tell the person, yeah, I was sleeping, and I was sleeping good, but God bless you. What can I do for you? Just get it out. But don't lie, because that is a lie. That's something we often do. How about this? You're at a restaurant, and the only thing colder than your food when it comes out was the waitress who looked at you crooked because now she had to get off her cell phone in order to wait on you. You finish your meal quickly. You don't want to rock the boat. So you go up to pay, and the cashier asks you, how was it? What's your typical response? Oh, it was good. It was fine. It was very good. When you know full well it wasn't. So what have we done or failed to do? We have failed to help that business in love fix a problem that's going to cost them money. We just oftentimes go away chewing and chawing about how we'll never come back to this place again. There is a time and a place to confront in love, not because we want to be picky. But you worked hard for your money, and they should too. And done correctly, it will benefit them, and it will show you care. So if your food's not done right, say something about it. Don't lie, but show them that there's a Christ-like, helpful suggestion that can be made in Jesus' name to prosper them and then bless them. You see, because a lie is any statement designed to deceive someone. You see, this commandment is not just a regulation for our reputation. This commandment, do not give false testimony against your neighbor, is for your remuneration. It is to pay for an equivalent service. This command, translated from the Hebrew, says John Hagee, says this, you shall not answer nor repeat. And here's what it means. You were not to answer nor repeat anything, say that with me, anything, unless you were an eyewitness to the event. No matter how pure your motives or how accurately you replayed it. How many times do we say things about each other that we were not witness to? Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You see, what this verse is saying is, unless you were an eyewitness, you are a false witness. How many people here have been the victim of gossip? Let me see your hands. You know that somebody's been talking to you? All right, talking about you? Yeah, absolutely. Now, don't raise your hand on this one, but how many of us have been the vehicle of it? Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Proverbs 16:28 says, a contrary person speaks conflict, and gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 17 and verse 9 says, whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. And Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Again, like I say, it's been about 2 weeks, and I'm getting used to this Christian Standard Bible, but I like the way it really just lays some of this stuff out. It says in Proverbs 20 and verse 19, it says this, the one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip. Now get this, avoid someone with a big mouth. That just tells it just the way it is. That just says it. You see, if you're a gossip, quit. Quit it. It destroys character, yours and the one that you're speaking about. So quit. If someone starts to tell you something as in a form of gossip, just let them know you don't want to hear it. Proverbs 19 and verse 9 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies perishes. Did you hear that? Proverbs 26 and verse 2 says, like a flittering sparrow or a fluttering swallow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. Now, I've always wondered about this, but the scripture bears witness to it. And according to Dake's Anointed Reference Bible says that the curse uttered against an innocent person when we gossip about someone, remember, unless you were an eyewitness, you are a false witness. That word designed to make us look good and make that person look bad is a form of a curse you are placing on them, put on them by the one speaking it. It's like saying, I wish this would happen to that person. I wish that person would lose their job or break their leg or whatever it might be. Or simply just gossiping about them. Dix goes on to say that curse uttered against an innocent person will have no effect. However, he states, it will return to those who uttered it. See, when you gossip about someone in order to raise your social standings, and when you bring that against another brother or sister, that curse isn't going to go to them because that's exactly what it is. Guess what? Just like that sparrow that's just fluttering around and not going anywhere, so is that curse, except it's coming back and resting on you and me, resting upon the person who uttered it. It goes nowhere. It stays on that which uttered it. Psalms 109 and verse 17 says, the Lord says, he loved cursing. Let it fall on him. He took no delight in blessing. Let it be far from him. Gossip is not only to slander someone, it is to put you in the path of what was put on them. Church, I believe we've got some work to do. 1 John 1 and verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I believe this is something we can all work on beginning today. Proverbs 12 and verse 22 says, lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are his delight. Colossians 3 verses 9 and 10 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. Commandment number 9, do not give false witness against your neighbor. It's a regulation for your reputation and your remuneration. So give a better word. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, to us. God, forgive us when we have been filled with the desire, Lord, to maybe shed some light on a brother or sister that needed not to be shed. Where we have painted a brother or sister or someone else in not such a good life because we wanted good light, because we wanted to seem to be more dominant or better than they. Forgive us, God, when we have listened to those who are willfully going about telling everything they know and a lot of what they don't. God, help us to realize that unless we are an eyewitness, we are a false witness. And your word tells us that there will be no false witnesses, no liars in the kingdom of heaven. Help us, Lord, to clean up our language. Help us, Lord, to focus our eyes on you. And we will praise you. And we will bless you through your name and in your power. We pray. Amen.